Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black, is here to introduce us to the steady pace of SpaceX for Earth orbit. Bob, a very good evening to you. Your picture is spectacular. Your measure of how Prototype 7 is progressing, how Prototype 24 Starship is progressing. Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Well, for your listeners, the story here has to do with SpaceX's attempt to build its own heavy lift rocket comparable to the Saturn V. That would be completely reusable and launch for about 1/100 the cost of the Saturn V. And they're doing this with almost entirely from private capital. Super Heavy is the first stage booster, essentially, and it's designed, of course, to launch and then land vertically like the Falcon 9 first stage. And above it would be Starship, which is the upper stage. And Starship is kind of like a revised space shuttle. It would go up into orbit and have a cargo bay, and then it would come back to Earth like the space shuttle did, moving through the atmosphere. But unlike the space shuttle, it wouldn't land on a runway. It would land vertically like first stage of Falcon 9 and Super Heavy. And so they've been doing tests. They have been aggressively doing tests until the end of last year, when the FAA and the federal government bureaucracy moved in and basically put a halt to everything. And they've been doing a lot of work that has to be done that is not actual flight tests while they wait for the government to clear things up. Now, the government's cleared things up somewhat, and so SpaceX is now proceeding to prepare for the first orbital launch of this combined rocket. To do that, they've been trying to test the prototype number 7 of Super Heavy, the first stage. They tried to do this a few weeks ago. They were doing engine loading tests and spin engine tests. This is not actually firing the engine, but spinning it up prior to ignition. And there was an explosion event that required them to take the thing down, put it back into the assembly building they have at Boca Chica in Texas, see what went wrong, and they very quickly fixed what went wrong, figured it out, and put it back on the launch pad. And early this week, they did a static fire engine test of two engines at the center of Super Heavy. Super Heavy has 33 engines, but they don't fire all 33 engines in the static fire test. In fact, they can't fire all 33 engines, because if they did, they don't have any kind of bolted mount that can hold the thing down. The rocket engines are so powerful. So they only can do some of the engines at a time. And the only time they'll be able to fire all 33 engines at one time is when Starship is mounted on top and the thing is going to launch. But they did this static fire test and everything worked great. And now this is the Super Heavy prototype that had an explosive event only a few weeks ago, and yet they were able to do this test. They also did a quick static fire test of prototypes number 24 of Starship that's going to fly on top of this, and that also went well. In conjunction with this, John, these things, when are they going to actually launch? Well, they have some, I think, more static fire tests they're going to have to do, but they have now gotten from the FCC their communications license for communicating back and forth with the stages as they launch into space. And that communications license, this is not the launch license, but this is a license for their communications. That launch line, this communications license has a start date of September 1, and it's 6 months long. So it'll cover multiple launches, test launches in that 6 month period, and it also tells us that SpaceX is targeting September 1 as a earliest possible date for this orbital mission. And so that's where we stand, John. It still is a question whether SpaceX will launch its super heavy Starship heavy lift rocket before NASA launches its SLS rocket. SLS is scheduled now to launch on August 29th. SpaceX won't launch before September 1st. I think this is still neck and neck because the odds of SLS launching on its first launch date is, like, I think, very slim.
All good news from Starship. Now we go to Starlink. What is that, Bob?
Well, Starlink is SpaceX's chance to put up a lot of low-orbit satellites to provide internet to the world, first and mostly at rural regions. And they've got like 3,000 satellites they've launched. They've got an active constellation that I think is about over 2,000 satellites at this point, probably more than 2,500. And they've already introduced service in a lot of different areas. I know you have it, John. I've applied for it. I have my deposit down right now. However, because they're servicing rural areas, and the FCC has a subsidy program for encouraging providing service of internet broadband service to rural communities, rural areas, remember, don't have good service here because it's expensive to lay down DSL lines, so a lot of these places have nothing more than either very slow phone service, the old-fashioned dial-up, or they have to depend on geosynchronous satellites that just don't provide good service. And so they're trying to encourage rural service, and Starlink is exactly this. So they apply to the FCC for the subsidy program, and in December of 20, the FCC awarded SpaceX a $900 million subsidy for providing rural communications, to rural broadband to customers. Well, that was under the Trump administration. Now, under the Biden administration this week, the FCC canceled that subsidy award entirely, and the reasons they gave seem to be really unclear, as far as I could tell. The best I could figure out is the FCC didn't like the fact that SpaceX is charging just under $600 for the equipment. If I was living in a rural area as you, John, and you needed service, that $600 fee for the equipment isn't really unreasonable, if that's what it costs. But no, the FCC canceled it. I think timing here is a big deal. This has to do with the difference between how the Biden administration looks at SpaceX and Elon Musk and how the Trump administration did. I think politics are involved in this. It has been a lobbying effort from Starlink's competitors, teamed up with Democrats in Congress to cancel this award, and it appears they succeeded. And I suspect the Biden administration was all gung-ho to cancel it as well. I also would have to add, John, quickly, I don't think SpaceX should get the money anyway. I mean, this is a wealthy company with lots of investment capital, and they're making money on Starlink. Why should taxpayers help pay for it?
My contribution is Starlink works perfectly. We move to Rocket Lab. The Rocket Lab commercial space is a great success. Is that correct, Bob?
That is, so far, it's correct. That's correct. Rocket Lab is a small sat rocket company. They've got a small rocket called Electron. They're building a much bigger rocket called Neutron. And they have done more than 20 launches and put up a lot of satellites. And so they've had real success. Their most recent launch, one of their most recent launches, was launching a lunar orbiter, small sat, for NASA called Capstone. And to do that, Rocket Lab had developed an upper stage they call Photon. Photon is essentially acts as a tug. It's designed to provide the actual rocket engine firings to send payloads on interplanetary flights. And so it did its work on Capstone, then it deployed Capstone, but Photon is still on its way to the moon as well, on an orbit that's going to have it fly by the Earth in a few weeks. When it flies by the Earth, Peter Beck, the head of Rocket Lab, says they have the option to use the fuel left over in Photon to guide it towards any number of targets in the solar system. And he says, stand by, quote, as it scoots past Earth, we'll have a crack at doing something cool with it and see how far into the solar system we can get with it. So in a few weeks, they're going to see if they can send that Photon stage almost anywhere in the solar system. Rocket Lab has already a future Photon project to send a probe to Venus, their own probe to Venus. Venus. And so using this photon just to show where they can send it is actually a sales pitch for other interplanetary projects to use it to get to other places in the solar system.
That's really cool, Bob. Really cool, Bob.
Yes.
We will follow that closely. The Russians, these days, the villainy is endless. So even when they mean not to be villainous, a Russian anti-sat test, what is the result?
Well, they meant to be villainous here, John. Let's be clear. They did, last year? They did an anti-satellite test. They blew up one of their old, defunct satellites in an orbit above ISS. And everyone immediately screamed at them because what this did is it put a cloud of debris in very heavily used orbits. And they said it's not going to cause any problems, but they've already had to hide astronauts in lifeboats when the pieces almost flew by and, you know, were a threat to impacting ISS. Well, it appears, according to an official from a company that helps track space junk, that's the scattered debris from this anti-satellite test has had numerous near impacts with multiple Starlink satellites, SpaceX's Starlink satellites, a lot of them up there. And so they say they've seen more than 6,000 close approaches, that's within 10 kilometers, about 6 miles, involving more than 800 Starlink satellites. That's about 30% of its constellation. And this will get worse as more satellites go up, not just from Starlink, but from other constellations as well. As that debris starts to decay, its orbit decays, it's going to increasingly threaten ISS. There's no doubt about that. So, yes, this is intentional villainy from the Russians.
And Bob, is there insurance that you can buy for your satellites when you launch them, or is this a completely open subject for the future, insurance for satellites?
You know, that's an interesting. I don't know, John. I never heard of insurance for satellites in case they get hit by space junk. But if someone from an insurance company is listening, they should pay attention because that's actually a really good idea because this is now becoming a problem. It's becoming a problem because of this anti-sat test. There's space junk up there, but they don't pose as serious a problem as the junk does. And the junk was created, and this particular junk was created in a very bad orbit. So, insurance would be a good idea, but I don't know if it exists.
Space offers everything all over again. We get to do the frontier, Bob, the metaphor you've always used, the wild frontier settling the West. And space is exactly the analogous. Now we go to regulators, one of Bob's favorite topics. This particular regulator is in the United Kingdom. What are they up to, Bob?
Oh, gosh, this is just, there's politics here as well, I'm sure of it. There's a United Kingdom regulatory body called the Competition and Markets Authority, and its job is to make sure that big mergers between companies does not reduce the amount of competition in any market. And so, last year, the geosynchronous communications satellite company Viasat arranged a merger agreement where it purchased another geosynchronous communication satellite company called Inmarsat. These are old communication satellite companies have been around for decades. And Inmarsat was having significant financial problems. It had been purchased by another company and delisted from the stock exchange. So Viasat purchased it, and they want to merge because they're both suffering. The Competition and Markets Authority Commission has now opened up an investigation to see if this is going to reduce competition. Both companies are having trouble, so they might just be killed because of this investigation. The politics involved in this is that the United Kingdom is a half partner in OneWeb. The government of the United Kingdom is a half partner in OneWeb, another low orbit constellation to provide competitive services to Viasat and Inmarsat. And I would not put it past the UK government, as an owner of OneWeb, using its power to do harm to its own competitors, its competitors in the communications industry. I would not put it past them at all, at all.
Bob, this connects to something that you spoke about months ago, the constellation wars that we're now a part of.
Yeah.
We're looking at, and I'm wondering, in addition to insurance for satellites being damaged by villainy, is there a court that could be appealed to in these disputes in low Earth orbit? You know, you stole my orbit or you crashed into my, does anything like that exist? Was anything contemplated in the Outer Space Treaty?
In terms of collisions, no. It's the same thing with the Outer Space Treaty. There's no enforcement mechanisms at all. But you do have, you know, it becomes diplomacy and, you know, big nation conflict that can be, that start out State Departments and diplomats applying pressure. But then after that, you start to shift into military action.
What about competing between sovereign states, which is what is suggested here with the UK regulating Constellation? Other constellations could be regulated by other countries. You could have competing claims.
Yeah, you know, it gets very complicated because, you know, for example, SpaceX is now operating in, I think it's like 20-plus countries.
Right.
And each one of those countries has put forth their own regulations to approve SpaceX there. So there's complicated regulations going on all levels here. And, of course, politics gets involved when you involve government in it. So it's very complicated. And a lot of it is, there's a lot of corruption involved here, John, because there's,
Yes, commercial space. Bob Zimmerman. Keeps the website behind the black. We're going to the surface of Mars next. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand-new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LifeLock and use promo code iHeart or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Let's be real. Life happens. Kids spill. Pets shed. And accidents are inevitable. Find a sofa that can keep up at washablesofas.com. Starting at just $699, our sofas are fully machine washable inside and out, so you can say goodbye to stains and hello to worry-free living. Made with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics, they're kid-proof, pet-friendly, and built for everyday life. Plus, changeable fabric covers let you refresh your sofa whenever you want. Need flexibility? Our modular design lets you rearrange your sofa anytime to fit your space, whether it's a growing family room or a cozy apartment. Plus, they're earth-friendly and trusted by over 200,000 happy customers. It's time to upgrade to a stress-free, mess-proof sofa. Visit washablesofas.com today and save. That's washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change, and certain restrictions may apply.